you have a Bible, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, we're going to be reading verses 23 to 28. It's on page 944 of the Bibles in the seats if you're using one of those. This is one of those this is one of those times when it hit me this week that I don't have enough words and I don't have the right words to say, to tell you all the things that I want to tell you about what God says here today. Nor do I have the time. So we're just going to dive in and we're going to read. And I want to savor every word with you. Hear the word of the Lord. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, would you open our eyes to the majesty and the glory and the beauty and the strength and the kindness and the compassion and the love of Jesus Christ today. Lord, show us the grace of Jesus. Let it sink deep into our bones. Lord, as we consume your word, and give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that would understand and repent and follow you and surrender everything to you in every way, all the time. You're so much better than we give you credit for. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, what do you think when you hear the phrase, "You took it personally"? Usually, like, that is not a compliment, right? It means that someone said something to you that probably hurt your feelings or whatever. Basically, what someone said or did, you took it as about you. At least that's what they're saying. Usually when we say that to somebody, it's unjustified. We're trying to excuse our own behavior when we say that. But has it occurred to you yet that Jesus, right now, who speaks for you right now, takes you personally? Has it occurred to you that he takes you personally? I mean, what about yourself do you hope that no one else sees? What about how much energy in your life is spent to cover it, or manage it, or avoid it? What if Jesus loves that part of you? I don't mean that Jesus excuses everything you do or the desires of your or the corrupted desires of your heart or anything like that. I mean, what if Jesus has compassion on and loves that part of you that you hope nobody ever sees? Samuel Rutherford once wrote, he's a guy who lived 400 years ago. I love the way he talks about Jesus, though. He said, come in to Christ. See what it is that you want and find it in him. That's what God's word is inviting us into, because what we said, particularly in verse 25, is that Jesus is right now exactly the one you need. We talked about that last week, right? If you were here last week. He's exactly the one you need at every time, in every way, over every obstacle, and in every sense, Jesus is able to save every last bit of us, and he will not stop until he does. Not only is he able, not only is he willing, but he will not stop until he fulfills his mission as our priest. See, remember, if you remember, like, back in Hebrews, and as we've talked about Hebrews, this is written to a people who are tempted to go back to the things that were familiar, the things that they're used to. Jewish Christians tempted to go back to what they used to do and how they used to believe before they met Jesus, because things are hard and they're opposed and like life has gotten really tough. But the constant, this is, Hebrews is a sermon. It's a long sermon written out, and it's been telling us this whole time. God's been telling us through this book that Jesus is exactly the one that we need. He's qualified. He's appointed by God as a priest forever. He is able to make us perfect. That is, completely fit for life with God. Not perfect in the sense of all of our behavior we get right, but perfect in the sense that we can be completely fit for life with God. And yes, that does mean growth in how we act in this world too. But just as much, we've been told, if you will place your hope in anyone other than Jesus, the only thing that will be left for you is the expectation of God's judgment, because there is only one Savior, and there is only one who is able. As we dive into to what we read today, you know, verses 23 and 24, it said that the Levitical priests, they had to be many in number because they were not able to continue in office, because very simply, they died. They ran out of life. But with Jesus, there never has to be more than one priest. There is no longer a need for it to change hands. He has a perpetual priesthood, and nothing prevents him from remaining in God's presence. Now, we've covered that before. That was kind of a bridge to from what we've been seeing, we saw last week. But now verse 25, if you're still looking at it. This is one of those hang your life on this sort of verses. This is about what Jesus is doing right now. Okay? Because Jesus continues, he abides forever, he remains forever as a priest, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. He always lives, because he always lives to make intercession for them. Get that into your bones this morning. Get that all the way in. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. That is, completely and in every way. That means that there is literally nothing that stands in Jesus' way when he goes to save all who draw near to him. All who draw near to God through him. Nothing stands in the way. He is never not exactly where we need him to be. He is never not... doing exactly what we need him to do, because he is never not exactly the one that we need. It's a lot of never nots, I know. He is able and nothing stands in Jesus' way. But when he says he's able to save us to the uttermost, he is also, God is also telling us that there is nothing about you and me, the whole you and me, that he will not save, that he will not redeem, that he will not renew. Your body, your soul, everything. There is nothing about me and about you that he will leave out or leave behind. And as he's doing it, he's not concerned that he's going to run out of time. He doesn't run out of any time. And he is not constrained by the length of his life. He's not constrained by the length of ours. He's not going to run out of time. There's nothing that stands in his way. That is a critical point. Jesus is doing his work in us, and he won't run out of time. I asked you before, what do you hope that nobody ever sees? And you wish maybe things that you wish didn't exist in you or about you. There are some in this room I know. When you answer that, you just say, all of it, Jack. All of it. I know that. But what if Jesus actually loves you? What if Jesus actually loves that part of you that you wish wasn't there? And what if rather than throwing it away, he wants to redeem it and cleanse it and renew it and restore it and claim it for his own? What if he wants to save you to the uttermost? And what if his mission is not done until he does it? Because that's what a priest is. That's what a high priest does. But how is he able to do that? He always, it tells us, he always lives to make intercession for those who draw near to God through him. Last week we talked about forever. There's a little bit of a difference between forever and always, right? Forever talks about an unending duration of time, like it just, forever. Always is every moment of that forever. It's every moment. God's telling us that there is never a moment that Jesus doesn't live to make intercession for us. Let that sink in. There is never a moment that Jesus doesn't live to make intercession for you. Who is this for, by the way? Who is this truth for? It's for those who draw near to God through Jesus. It's only given to those who draw near to God through Jesus. It means that we can only come to the Father in Jesus' name. We can only come by faith in him alone, accepted because of what Jesus has done in the belief that he is the only way. Drawing near to God requires Jesus' sacrifice at the cross and his resurrection. Drawing near to God through Jesus requires that Jesus be at the Father's right hand in interceding for us. He always lives, but he lives for a purpose. He lives to do something, to fulfill his office as a priest. He cannot fulfill that office as our priest, that is, for all who believe in him, until he has saved us in every way. He has to do it. He takes it personally. Jesus takes you personally. He takes you personally. It's his own name at stake. It's his Father's name at stake. It's the Holy Spirit's name at stake. So what does that mean? That means that Jesus is the one who is most interested in your salvation. Infinitely more than you are. That means that Jesus doesn't wait around for you to get it right. He has no need for you to give him a reason to be interested in you. He's not moved when you drum up the right feelings or passion. He doesn't need you to give him a reason. He doesn't come to find us because we have something that we could give him. He comes to find us because we need to be found. And so he makes intercession for us. What does that mean? It means that to make intercession means that means intervening on someone else's behalf. Okay? Like coming and speaking for them when they can't do that and do it for themselves. What it means when the Bible says that Jesus intercedes for us is that all that Jesus did to atone for our sins at the cross, that he did once for all, as what we read said, it was completed at the cross. It is given to us now by Jesus interceding for us now in the moment to moment. Jesus' work of intercession, the forgiving, reconciling, restoring, and sustaining work of Jesus is done now actively by Jesus at the Father's right hand. His mission as our high priest is to plead his own blood over us. For my sake, Father, forgive them. Yeah, Jesus has dealt with all of your sin, past, present, and future, at the cross. He's applying that to you right now as you go before him, as you run to him. He prays for our forgiveness. He prays for, I mean, prayer is probably the best way to think about intercession. It may seem odd to you to think of Jesus doing this, but he prays for our forgiveness. He prays for our help. He prays for our strength to the Father who cannot help himself. He is so happy to give Jesus everything he asks for. The Father, there's not a question of whether the Father is going to give it. And we shouldn't think that that Jesus is asking the Father to do something that the Father is reluctant to do for us. God is all in with all that makes him God in this. God, the Father appointed Jesus for exactly this purpose. What is he doing when he intercedes? There's two ways that I want you to remember this intercession of Jesus. First of all, that Jesus actually is intercession for us. Jesus, because he is there, because he is in the presence of the Father at his right hand, his irrefutably, immutably, unmovably, indestructibly, he himself is the guarantee that we are accepted and we can draw near to God. As long as Jesus is there, he cannot fail to save all who come to God through him. But like we were just saying, Jesus also, I think it means, we're not told exactly what it means in the Bible. But I think if we look at something like, if we look at a chapter like John 17, where Jesus is praying for his disciples, we can get a good idea. Jesus actually speaks. He prays that we be saved, that our sins be forgiven, that we endure, and that nothing, and nothing that he asks, there is not a chance that Jesus is going to ask something and the Father says no. They want the same thing. It's Jesus' mission to save us through to the uttermost, to intercede for us, and he takes this personally. He takes you personally. He is exactly the right person in exactly the right place. Always and forever. He is described, the text that we read describes him as holy. This is why he's able, this is how he's equipped. He's to do these things. He's holy. He's completely set apart for God, and he is morally perfect. He is innocent. That is, there's not a hint of sin or guilt or evil or corruption in him. He is unstained. He is undefiled. He is pure completely. says he is separated from sinners. That by that he means, it means that he is both sinless, which is the only way Jesus is not like us, and he is our high priest, set apart from the people to enter into God's presence for us. Only with Jesus, he can actually bring us with him. He's the only one who can do this. And it says Jesus is exalted above the heavens. He is where God is, where nothing else in all of creation can go. That what it's talking about is that he is equal with God. There is no doubt about whether Jesus is God, because Jesus is at the Father's right hand. That is where he is. And that means nothing and no one can remove him. And nothing and no one can stand in his way. And he will not stop. And he will not tire. And he will not even pause until we are saved to the uttermost. What if right now Jesus loves that part of you that you don't? What if nothing stands in his way? Seriously, like, I don't know if you've been taking your life with God seriously or not, but think about this. What if he's doing all of this right now, and he won't stop until he redeems and restores and saves all of you? All of you. That's what the resurrection means, by the way. Death doesn't get to keep anything in the end. Nothing. What if he takes your life with him personally? That he's not distant, but this is how he sees you and this is what he wants. What would that change for you? What would that release you from in your life? How would it free you to live for God? Knowing that he wants it more than you do. Like you can, that is a God, that is a Savior you can trust. You can submit your whole life to. You can trust him with anything and everything. You don't need to hold back. Look, maybe you've thought in your life, maybe you're just not sure about this Jesus stuff, and maybe you thought in your life that God, if there is a God, he seems so distant that it's hard to take this seriously. But what God's word says here is that he takes you personally. Can you take God seriously if he takes you personally? This is what God is telling you to believe. And that's it. That Jesus, in Jesus, he has made a way for you. In Jesus, because he lived the life you could not live, and he died the death that was yours to pay. We deserve death before God. Jesus took that. Jesus sacrificed himself on our behalf. And he rose again. And he ascended into heaven, and he is at the right hand of God right now, interceding for us right now, taking us personally right now. Is that a God? Is that a Savior that you can believe? Perhaps you do believe, and I know that many of us in here do. But maybe we haven't been taking God as seriously as we would like to, or as we know we ought to. Because the fact is, we do what we want, right? The problem is, we don't want it enough. Are you struggling to take God seriously in every moment of your life? What is, as this idea, this knowledge that Jesus will not stop, that nothing stands in the in his way, that he is not constrained by anything, and he will not see his job as finished until he saves every last part of you. He redeems every last part of you. He cleanses every last part of you. Can you take him seriously because he takes you personally? Can you submit yourself again and again and again to that kind of Savior, that kind of God? Because that is the only God that there is. Friends, that's the only God that there is. We don't have another. We don't worship another. We don't offer another. But you can, if right now, what you want is him, all you need to do is ask. All you need to do is ask. And if what you and if what you don't have is the want to, you can ask for that too. Jesus will not stop until he has saved every last bit of you. Lord, would you take us and make shape our hearts and strengthen it? And God, I have with this word, Lord. Again, I don't have enough words or the right words to praise you for this truth. Lord Jesus, what you've done for us isn't just 2,000 years in the past. It is right now. You are giving it to us. You are giving everything that you won for us at the cross in this present moment at the Father's right hand. Lord, help us to consider you, depend on you, trust you. Give us your Spirit that we would be wholly transformed to be like you and to seek you in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.